A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Paramount Plus. Get in, loser! Mean Girls is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Join Katie Heron as she meets the plastics and Tina Fey's new twist on the modern classic. Get ready for more of the rumors, backstabbing, and jokes you loved from the original movie with some fetch surprises. Rated PG-13. Wear pink and head to ParamountPlus.com to try it free.
What's going on, everybody? Hope you are doing good and having a good week so far. Podcast time. Marco Ferrone, what a legend. He has been DJing for a very long time, producing for a very long time, released countless records from house, tech house to techno, owns a record label called Uncaged, is releasing some amazing music and some really new artists in the kind of techno space. Love this guy. He played at one of my shows in Miami during WMCs this year. We all had dinner beforehand, and he's just one of the loveliest guys I've met, so I wanted to get him on the podcast. So without further ado, Marco Ferrone. Yeah. Marco, how is it going, sir?
Very good, thank you. Everything is good.
Good, man.
Besides, I broke my finger the other day.
Yeah, how did you do that?
Well, I sleep outside of the shower like a stupid. And luckily, no one recorded the moment because that was really fun. Yeah, I mean, luckily, it could be worse, you know. When you sleep somewhere, it could be, yeah. But luckily, I just broke my finger. And actually, I did manage to play this weekend, even without... I have 9 fingers enough.
Damn, so how did you... Because it's...
Yeah,
like, I've never seen it like that.
Yeah, I broke it the doctor said, did you punch someone? Because I actually broke it in the same...
on the knuckle.
Normally it happens when you punch like a wall or someone or whatever, you know, because it's a typical thing you get. And it was broken here. So actually I did play and I didn't feel the pain. And then I had to go to the hospital and 2 weeks ago and they told me my finger was broken. So yeah, but actually the last finger, the little one, when it's getting broken hard, you have to keep it like close.
I didn't know that.
In a natural position, so, but it's okay. I can manage to play.
Yeah, you don't really use your little finger, do you?
No, actually, no. It was worse if I was a piano player or something.
Yeah.
Then it could be very worse.
Good job, but good job we don't play the piano, right? Good job we just push buttons.
Exactly.
How's life anyway? How's whereabouts are you at the moment?
Everything is good. I just rebuilt my studio in Barcelona after a long time because during the whole pandemic, I moved to Ibiza.
Oh, did you?
And I moved to Ibiza for the whole pandemic, and it was actually much better than staying here in Barcelona where everything was closed. Yeah. I couldn't even go and drink a coffee at the bar because everything was really, really, the pandemic was really straight here in town.
Yeah.
So I moved to Ibiza and I had all my studio into boxes. I had to pack everything. I left a few synthesizers at my friends. I had to, I mean, so it was quite emotional to unpack everything again. and put everything in the right place where it should be, you know. So
did it give you like a bit more inspiration of coming back in and like reopening everything?
Of course. The room sounds good. We did some sound treatment, and you know, like connecting all the stuff back again after working for 2 years on my laptop on a few little things.
Yeah.
It's nice to connect everything again, you know, and start jamming again with all your equipment.
Yeah, totally.
So
how do you find writing on a laptop compared to being in the studio?
Honestly, before I left during the whole right before the pandemic, I recorded lots of things from my scenes and everything before packing everything. And also I did work on my computer because I have lots of libraries that I built by myself through by all those years producing.
Yeah.
So I mean, all my kick drums and everything, I mean, I know more or less what I'm gonna use when I'm producing. And obviously, working on the laptop, you need to adapt yourself by working with some plugins and some stuff, you know.
Yeah.
which is not crazy different if you use them properly, but having like feeling back in your comfort zone with all your stuff and everything is definitely a different feeling, you know. So so it's good.
Did you
have a kit there as well?
Yeah, we got a bit of kit. Do you like using hardware?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do. It gives you a different. Freedom.
Yeah.
When you, it's a different touch, you know. And sometimes you can record some weird ideas, but then after a few days, you open again the project, you start editing. I mean, you can record some very cool stuff. Actually, I don't have crazy loads of stuff, but I have some just the things I need, like my Move Voyager, my Nautilus, my mini log, my MPC 1000 that you don't see there, a few drum machines, like Virus. So just a few good pieces of equipment. Yeah. I had back in the days, I used to buy everything a lot, you know, when you have when you get excited of buying keyboards and everything. But then you realize that the end of the thing, if you want to have your own sound and you have on personality in your music, it's better you use like a few good things that you feel comfortable with, you know? So you need to spend a lot of money of buying lots of keyboards and just a few good things and to give your sound your own imprint, you know?
No, I agree with that. I think it's that saying of like, master like a couple of things, be really good at a couple of hardware synths, and then you'll kind of understand everything, and you'll also get to like really enjoy and kind of build a relationship up with that synth and kind of understand what you can do. Like I have some synths, like my drum machine, which you can't see here.
No,
it's the AVP. I literally only use it for its hi-hats and rides, but it's just like amazing for that one thing that I like, and literally it's pretty much in every single one of my records. And I don't know, I think if I started buying loads of other shit, it's just going to be like, well, I don't really know what to do with it all. It's just,
exactly.
It's just a bit, it looks amazing when you've got it all, it looks great, but it's like, does anyone really use it that often? I don't know.
Less is more, right? Everyone say less is more. So if we think on that kind of way and that kind of concept, it's better to reduce your equipment and just use a few nice pieces you feel confident with.
I would like to get a really nice polyphonic synth, like something that can do some like really nice pads. But you've got the Virus and the Nord Lead for that, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then I recently bought this Pro One, which is a replica from Behringer of the old Pro One, which is insane, the sound. I mean, I didn't expect that. And then my friend RV McKay, which is also a very amazing producer and is signing on my label quite a lot, told me, Marco, you should, for your sound, you should definitely buy this synth. And I bought it. It's actually super cheap. And man, the sound is amazing. I placed it in front of my computer because I'm using it quite a lot recently.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, Yeah,
it's Harvey McKay. I had him on the podcast. I think he was like last year. Yeah. And I've always liked his records since I heard his record Black Dolphin, and I still play that record. It's a fucking bomb.
I'm a big fan of his music. I think now with the music he's doing on my label, on Uncaged, he's evolving his sound.
Yeah.
into something he wanted to express somehow.
Yeah.
You know, when he's like breaking, I feel like he's breaking a wall. Mm-hmm. To express himself more with the sound he really likes without compromises. Yeah. So I had a chat with him the other day, and he said, "Marco, I feel very confident and good to work with you because you understand my music and you understand my new vision of music that I like, and you're supporting it." So I think there is nothing better for an artist to find a platform where you can really express yourself and give the 200% of what you wanna give musically, you know.
That's what I was gonna say. He's really like come out of his shell, and you know, when you find a producer that makes amazing music and then over like 2 years just really hones in on their sound and really finds what they're about and who they are as an artist for that period of time, because we all have to evolve, but I feel like he's the one artist that he writes so much music now. And he's just constantly sending me music, and it's always like really fucking good.
And amazing.
And I'm there's not many people that I get excited about, but I think if he just keeps doing his thing, he's gonna do some good things.
Yes, exactly.
I want to talk about. Say that again.
And all the time we are evolving, you know, and it's nice you evolve and you find at the end, or not at the end, but during your journey, something that you really like a kind of shade of music that you didn't really find before. Yeah. And then you discover that you're able to do a specific kind of sound and you go for it, you know. Yeah. I think it's really,
it's interesting. This is what I want to talk to you about as well, because you've had a lot of evolution through your career. And I know, I initially knew you from when you used to release Undefected, and in like more housey kind of vibes.
Yes.
And then I started hearing you make techno and was like, what the fuck's going on here? I just didn't have a clue what was going on. And that's purely because I wasn't aware that you kind of switched to the, like the techno sound, like in genre. What was the journey from house? Cause I still know you play house and I still know you like that, but it's like, what was the journey to get you from releasing Undefected to then starting your own record label with Uncaged? There's a lot in between that, so how did you get that
between? Of course. So this is actually one of the questions I wanted you to ask, because it's quite interesting, and lots of people asking me this question. It's because this is very natural for me, because when I started DJing, obviously, I'm coming from a little town in Italy, and we didn't really have a strong musical background back then. So I started listening a bit of everything since when I was really, really young. And obviously, I had to start from a point and then evolve myself into something different. So when I started producing back then in Italy, we had a very heavy, strong techno scene, but as much as the house scene was really strong back then. So I started listening a bit of everything there. Then obviously I had to go for imagine when I started, I was playing hip hop and then I moved drum and bass. So it's something completely different.
What year was this?
Was when I was 14 years old.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and this year I'm 34, so it's like it's a long time. It's a long time, and I went through a very long journey. Even if some people thinks I'm super young, or you know, I'm like, and sometimes I think I'm a new name in the scene.
Yeah.
I'm DJing and producing since a quite long time. Imagine my first record on vinyl came out in 2008, 2007, 2006, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
On a German techno label, so I've been producing since a quite a long time. And as you said, I've been releasing from house to techno, whatever. Mm. I always thought that music is freedom.
Totally.
So as soon as you express yourself, releasing good music and giving your contribute on the house scene, on the techno scene, no matter what, it's you giving your contribute to the scene.
Yeah.
Releasing good music. So I started, obviously I went to see some DJs playing, and obviously you get inspiration out of them. And I started producing some techno records back then, and I moved to house and I used to release on labels like Desolate, Get Physical, Moon Harbor, Cecile, some of the best house label or tech house labels back then.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I just got bored of doing the same thing, even if I was able to do it.
Yeah.
To do this kind of music. And then I started making some techno.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do something more powerful, something more, you know, like just getting inspiration out of my moments, my surrounding, my day, you know. And then I started releasing on Drum Code, where I did like 6 releases on Rekis, where I did an album and 4 or 5 more releases. I just started to evolve into something different. Then I went to Defected. It's something supernatural for me. Imagine if you go in a studio, you know, you are a techno producer. You go to the studio one day, you switch up, you open your laptop, and you make a good house track or a good tech house track, no matter what. Why not releasing it?
I agree.
Why putting yourself in a cage?
Yeah.
This is why Uncage, the name of the label, came from the desire of expressing yourself.
Yeah.
You know, without any fucking compromise, just do the music you love. As soon as I'm not saying playing the game or do something cheesy for the market or like brings you to big numbers or sellings, no matter what, but just do good music and hope this music will be good for the audience, you know? So I sit one day in the studio and for the Defected track, for example, we got in touch with the singer, the sample, the voice, the sample we got was amazing. And we said, yes, let's do a track with it. Mm-hmm. You know, something that, and then I actually released the track on my label, because when we said, the story is that when we sent the track to Defected the first time, they refused the demo. They refused the track. They didn't sign it.
Yeah.
So then I released the track on my label on Uncage Swap Series, which is more the more housey catalog where we did Trauma, It's Everything,
and
it's more like funky house kind of vibe. And then after like a month, we got a request from Defected to sign and license the record. So it was a kind of strange process. And then we signed a track on Defected. Then I released again on Rekis, then again on Drum Code.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm super active in the studio. I'm making lots of music, but not all the tracks are the same.
Yeah,
I don't sit in the studio and focus myself on doing only one thing because this doesn't really reflect also my message as a DJ.
You see,
when I'm playing, I can play. If you put me on a stage or at Awakenings, I can play a smashing techno set. But if you put me on a pool party with Jamie Jones or Paradise or Elro, no matter what, I'm not saying I'm adapting myself to the stage, but I'm playing something that makes sense.
Totally. You're being a DJ.
I started DJing since a long time ago. Yeah. So the first thing I'm doing when I'm DJing, first of all, is to not lie to myself. Mm-hmm. And don't forget my roots, because what if I'm doing the same thing for all the fucking time? This is boring for me. Like, it doesn't express my vision as a DJ and producer. So I will not be credible for myself first.
Totally.
When you lie for yourself, the end is you will lie to the people that are in front of you.
Yeah.
And this is not something I want to do. I just go for my thing. Maybe it's easier. Maybe it's more difficult. Playing one genre of music is creating more hype on your name, because nowadays, every time, everybody's looking for shortcuts to reach a goal, you know? And this is creating hype. I understand if you're playing the same kind of music, but what is the fucking creativity?
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? I think this is the thing, isn't it? It's I have this conversation a lot outside of, on this podcast and off the podcast, and I'm sure you do as well. But it's like, it sounds bougie as fuck, and I don't like saying it, but we're artists. And you go to like Van Gogh didn't paint the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And Led Zeppelin didn't write the same record over and over again. The Beatles didn't write the same record over and over again. So why, as DJ producers, should we write the same record over and over again? And I'm not saying that there's people that are writing. No, there are people that write the same record over and over again. And there's a reason why people do that. And that's not to be creative. That's purely for the business side of it. And we all know that in the industry. We can all see through that. And I respect it, if I'm honest with you. I respect it. Like, whatever you want to do, you do what you want to do. However, I don't want to just put the same record out every day.
And wait, don't get me wrong. If you are a techno producer, you have a techno background, you're born in a city like Berlin or Detroit or New York, whatever, and your roots are based on techno, and you only love to do techno because house music doesn't sound good in your ears. Yeah. Like, for example, some people don't like rock, some people don't like reggaeton, some people don't like house, some people just don't like techno. Yeah. How many tech house producers you say, this is too hard, this is so shit, this is too gabber, and I don't like it?
Yeah.
Music is various because it's music, you know? Yeah. So people are people listening different stuff, and they obviously, artists and DJs, they produce different stuff. So if you are able to do, if you are a talent making only techno and you just play techno, I have nothing against it. Don't get me wrong. It's good that you do. It's good that people do what they are good, what they are good on doing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's, if you're good doing techno, just do techno. But for me, for my kind of, for what I've experienced during all those years and during all my musical journey, I will not be credible doing that. And beside of this, I will not be happy of keeping myself doing only one genre, because I have different roots. I'm coming from a small town in Italy where we didn't have a strong musical techno scene, or I didn't born in Berlin.
Yeah,
I didn't born in Detroit.
Yeah,
I didn't born in London. So I don't have. I have to be. I have to stay true to my roots, to where I'm coming from. That's why it's very important that when people never forget from where they're coming from.
Yeah,
your roots are really important. But in general, in life, not only in music, you know what I mean. So it's very important to stay connected to your roots, to where you're coming from. This is how. This is the only way you can give out the best of yourself.
Totally.
You know? So
yeah.
I'm not the producer that only loves techno. I love techno, and I did lots of techno records. But yes, I'm also able to do house. I did sign an album. I did sign in 2020 during the whole pandemic. I did sign my first album on Rackets that was based on the No Filter album. It was based on a experimental techno experimental techno direction, but still for the club.
Yeah.
And then six months later, during the whole pandemic, I was in the studio, like in a mood of not playing or not DJing out. And I did an ambient album that was released in collaboration with a journalist from the New York Times. And the album was also promoted on National Geographic, Sea Shepherd, on all these platforms, you know, completely different platform than what I'm used to be promoted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was quite exciting, you know. Why not? Why put barriers around you if you're able to do it? Many artists are, I know that many artists, they do techno, for example, are very talented house DJs.
Yeah, yeah.
And very talented house producers. Mm-hmm. But they say, oh, I should not release this. Oh, I'm not releasing this because this is not what I'm doing, and then people will reject this record, and I lose followers, and I lose my audience and respect. Mm. But what's the point of this?
I know, yeah.
What's the fucking point of this? You're an artist, you know? Today, you're feeling to paint in red, and tomorrow you feel to paint in blue. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, the artist is a fucking artist.
Yeah. Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think that as artists, I don't think it's just in this genre, but why do you think people struggle to listen to music from an artist when they evolve their sound or just try something new or experiment? Because it's a normal thing for people to get bothered. Like, your favorite band puts out a new album and they kind of change their sound and you're like, what the fuck? I wanted old that, like, not new that. What do you think that's about?
I don't know. Maybe just some people just don't appreciate a change or an evolution. They get used to something, and then they always want to listen the same thing or repeat the same thing. But at least, when I'm used to play someone's music, and then they send me something completely different, the first thing I'm asking myself is why this guy did this, what's the process he went through to do this. For example, I'm a big friend of Sam Paganini, which is he's an amazing producer, an amazing DJ. And during the pandemic, I did an album, and he sent me this album, which is mostly like, it has like 2-3 club tracks, but the most album is based on an experimental vision. And it's like, there is some ambient tracks, some, you know, like slow tracks for listening.
Yeah.
And like, he also told me that he got some comments from some people, like some people didn't like it, some people did not support it, or some people liked it, you know?
Yeah.
But he told me the same, Marco, I just wanted to express something different. We all went through a different moment during the pandemic, and also not only because of the pandemic, but maybe if you're not playing for 2-3 months and then you sit in the studio and you want to do something that musically, it's good for a certain time of your life. Why not doing it? I mean, I expect the people to understand the message, to understand what's the process the artist went through to do this record. It can be a difficult moment in life. It can be that he doesn't express himself well with a certain kind of sound. Mm. Maybe he broke up with his wife, or a child born, or whatever. It can be like a change in life. So the artist, because of the change he had or the experience, he maybe wants to share something different musically.
Yeah.
It's not a crime. It's not a fucking crime to release a record on a new label or something different to contribute with your sound to the scene and not get accepted for that. It's totally so fucking frustrating sometimes.
I totally agree. But I also think, what's your thoughts on the promoter side of this? Okay. Because promoters almost need to put you in a box because of their booking nights and they kind of want to promote it and sell tickets. Have you ever come up against that issue where, like, you're a house artist and you're a techno artist, and what lineup do you kind of sit on? I'll be honest, I get this all the time. like, because from my past of releasing music on Dirty Bird, and then some of the records I release on my own label, and then some of the records I release on other people's labels, like, it kind of, it's very tough to kind of put, for promoters to be like, who do I put him on the lineup with? How did you find that?
To be honest, it's something that happens to me as well sometimes. Mm-hmm. But let's say I feel blessed because I'm playing in the scene since quite a long time.
Yeah.
And many of the promoters know my vision and they've seen me playing. So obviously they've seen me playing on big stages, on big festivals. Now with all the social medias, you can see everything. And some of them, now I'm not saying all of them, because not all of them understand what you want to communicate. But most of them understand that I'm able to play what makes sense for the slot they put me on the lineup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you put me playing after Len Fakie, or I play as I said before, on a pool party with Paradise or whatever, it depends. It's very important if promoters go and check what the artist is doing. What's funny is that sometimes I have somebody playing before me. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let me an artist who's playing 160 BPMs, how's possible that I can play before me? You know, obviously you need to check what the artist is doing.
Yeah.
So sometimes I see really not making sense lineups, but not because of me in general.
Yeah.
Imagine if they put a 150 BPM artist before you
or
even before, or even before Carl Cox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, before anybody, because no one plays that.
Sometimes I feel like that some promoters are not even checking the music you play.
No.
Okay? Or you produce, or yes, okay, go for the name. Go for the name. Expect the name to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Because this is all about selling tickets. But where is the fucking music?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, selling tickets. Everybody wants to sell tickets. Everybody wants to put an artist on a flyer and sell tickets. Okay, I understand the business, but where is the? There is loads of artists that play good music and they don't have a chance to be on a lineup or have a slot or whatever. And I see there is a big chaos in general. To be honest,
a big what? Sorry.
There is a big confusion.
Yeah.
There is a big chaos in general, you know, my experience is that for me, some promoters understand what I'm doing, so they put me on the right slot on the lineup, and also they know what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
some people just don't understand it, so they just don't book me, or maybe they need more time, or more time to understand what I'm doing. I never consider my career to be for a short time. I always look at the far. If I have to see myself in 20 years DJing, I consider Laurent Garnier as an example to follow.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like someone who have been able to express himself musically and play everything what he wants.
Yeah.
Because if you see Laurent Garnier playing a set, he can play from house music to techno music, to down tempo, to like whatever what makes sense with a superb class. And he had such a long career and respect from all the industry because he stayed true to what he wanted to share.
Yeah.
But because he played the game or whatever, you know? So I expect, obviously, it would be a dream to be like Laurent Garnier in 20
years. Totally.
But you know, that's the example I follow.
Yeah.
If I have to check somebody on Instagram, I always check people that they give me right inspiration and let me follow my direction, my way. You know, they don't get me out of the street. I just need to go straight to the point where I want to go. That's why I never put myself barriers, and I never like to say, oh, I do this. I just go for my thing. Some promoters might like it. Mm. Some promoters might not like it. But do you like everything?
No.
I don't like everything. Yeah. So imagine if I was a promoter.
Yeah.
Probably I will book some artists or some artists not. You know, I don't expect everybody to like me.
Totally. And you can't. You can't expect it. The thing with not just music, just life, you can't expect anything. And I think I was listening to a podcast earlier, actually, and it was talking about expectations. And it was saying, if you lower your expectations a little bit, you're going to enjoy the journey so much more. Like, it's like New Year's Eve, right? The New Year's Eve expectations are always so fucking high that it's always a terrible party, because everyone's like, this is going to be the best party of the year. And it's always the worst because our expectations are so high. If we go into and they were saying, like, you know, those nights when your mate just calls you and is like, do you fancy going for a drink? And you end up just having a mad one, and you have you meet loads of new people and you have the best night. The reason why it was the best night is because there was zero expectations. You're going out just to have a drink with your mate, and it turns out to be this amazing thing. And I think I need to do that more for my career, is where I take expectations, I bring the expectations down a little bit. And I've tried to do that with releasing records, because I put so much pressure on releasing records. And it's almost like I'm putting the pressure on that it's like my last fucking record I'm ever going to release, because it's not the last record I'm going to release. I've got about 20 others lined up to be released, and I can't expect every record to do really well. How do you kind of deal with that when you're released? Because I want to talk about the record label after this, but like, when you're releasing your records, like, how do you deal with your expectations?
To be honest with you, Ben, I started releasing records back in the days, and I never, to be very honest with you, I never thought about the result of the record.
Really?
I didn't even know some of my records that I signed, and I signed on vinyl, like 10 years ago. I don't even know how much they sell. Because back then, some labels, they were not even paying the royalties. No. They say we lost everything with the vinyl. And how much do you sell? We don't know. It was very chaotic. It can be that they sold 200 or 1,000 or 2,000 copies. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yeah.
The pressure is all about the new platforms. Mm. So basically, when you see the numbers in real time, when you make a post on Instagram and you realize how many likes you're doing.
Yeah.
It's more or less the same thing. You see the numbers, you see the progress of your music, and this is creating tension. Yeah. And obviously, today I have 100 people listening, tomorrow I have 200 people listening. The same pressure you have sometimes when you post something online and you expect people to like it.
Yeah.
You know? Nowadays, it's like that a bit. Mm-hmm. You feel the pressure of being successful and smash it and have lots of millions on your tracks.
Yeah.
To be honest, I feel this pressure a little bit, because this is also reflected on the bookings nowadays.
Yeah.
So, promoters are looking on your likes on Instagram. Some promoters like how many followers you have, and some promoters, they look how many monthly players you have on a streaming platform, and then they decide for the bookings, and then you get like, oh, am I able to satisfy the numbers to play a certain kind of slot or play or be able to play on the lineup of this festival?
Yeah.
You know, back then, no one was considering this.
Back then,
you had a vinyl, you have a nice piece of plastic in your hand, and you say, wow, is this a beautiful record?
Yeah.
Or this is a shit record?
Yeah.
I don't want to book this artist, you know?
Mm.
Nowadays, if you have six, five, 10 million plays on a track and the track is shit, you will get a booking.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know what I mean?
Well, it's so true because it is.
I'm saying the truth or I'm lying, you know? I don't want to lie. I'm saying I listened to so many beautiful pieces of music.
Yeah.
They have millions of plays and beautiful music. So I say, okay, this artist is making wow.
Yeah.
Amazing music. Millions. And good music, obviously, he deserves, to go and go on the lineup. And I say, okay, well, that's the reason why the artist is there.
Yeah.
Because I realize he's doing good music. And beside of that, big numbers on his music. What about sometimes you go on a playlist randomly and you see, wow, techno playlist. And you go through the playlist. And you see lots of garbage, like tracks, and I'm like, this is for real. Sampling cartoons or sampling no matter what. I see like, man, this is fucking unbelievable. Sometimes I'm like scrolling the playlist and I'm like, is this a joke? Come on. You know what I mean? I understand that somebody wants to be famous and wants to go and play the game and be successful and be on certain lineups. But there is always a limit.
Well, I think it goes back to what we were saying about evolving as an artist. I think, and the business side of it, I think what that is doing is purely looking at the business side of things and going, what do I need to do to get famous? And right now, at this moment in time, it's how do I get famous as quick as I possibly can? And the formulaic way to do that right now is to sample a hit record from the 90s and put a techno beat, put a tech house beat on it, do something like that. And not actually... I want to talk the Craze record, the Do It record. That record, when that came out, that record is done very well. The sampling is done very well. Not everybody knows the original. It's actually two records. He sampled two records. Not everyone knows the original. The record doesn't sound like the original. What comes from that when a record is that successful? You get people trying to copy because they see the success from that. And the records that copy don't go in with that much authenticity. And they go, okay, we need to get straight to the point. Let's go get a Britney Spears record. Let's go get a Black Eyed Peas sample. Let's go get this sample. Let's go get that sample. And yes, they become very famous very quickly. Or the records do extremely well for a very, very short amount of time. Very short amount of time. And yes, they will get booked and they will get fans and they will do all of that. Is there longevity in it? Going back to what you're talking about, is the longevity in your career. You have goals to be 20 years ahead. I have 10-year goal plan written out already. Like, whether I'm going to stick to that plan is a different thing, but I know where I want to be in 10 years.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I know that if I just clout chase, it's not going to last.
Yeah.
But I think we're just going through a very rough period of it right now, that the streaming platforms, the people, but I guess I want to talk about the pros of that, is that the pros of that is it actually brings a lot of people to the scene.
And that's true.
And by bringing a lot of younger people to the scene, using these samples actually helps us in a way, because people...
But I wish people can sample beautiful record from the 90s. I'm not saying this. The problem is when I see sampling stupid things, like something like from the... I don't know, like cartoons, for example, yeah. or like mixing reggaeton with the cows. And this is something like, I don't want to sound like an old guy saying, oh, you don't do this. I understand the progress. I understand that the kids nowadays maybe wants different kind of things.
Yeah.
But... I feel we are losing a bit of control of everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is a big confusion. And also, if the people and the new generation, they get used to listening to this music,
to shit,
they believe this is the good music.
Yeah.
They don't know what's the good music. Nowadays techno doesn't sound techno anymore.
No.
It just sounds like gabber and almost hardcore.
It's almost like EDM. If
Derek May is one of the founders of techno, is what they all say. So Derek May is not techno nowadays.
Yeah.
I saw him playing hundreds of times, and he has this nice funky groove. It's something that it's harmonic and it's like groovy and it's beautiful, you know. It's like pleasures. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Go and see a beautiful set like that. But nowadays, techno is the world techno. It's so big.
Yeah.
It's so various.
It's commercialized.
And it doesn't. And I hear some techno tracks cataloged under techno, that they sound gabber and they sound hardcore.
Mm.
And I'm like, I see some like 160 BPM tracks that they should be cataloged under a different genre.
Yeah.
And the techno festival that is doing a techno lineup should do a techno lineup.
Yeah.
Because the range is so big, but... We know what's techno, you know. Yeah. I know what's techno, and there is a big confusion, and obviously, it's difficult to understand what's beautiful. I always try to, no matter what I play, if it's house or it's techno or whatever, I always try to play quality music.
Yeah.
And maintain myself into certain limits, you know, a little bit. You can't always express yourself, and you can play a track which is a little bit more easy, and you know, like, but play a beautiful track.
Yeah.
Play a fucking good classic, you know what I mean? But which is a beautiful classic.
Yeah, I agree.
Not play some, you know, like, just say that, yeah.
I totally hear what you're saying, and I think
play Donna Summer, you know, and don't play the cartoons.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? But I also think there's like there's a lot of videos at the moment going around of people playing ABBA, and I'm like, this was great music, but also like, are you playing this to get a really good Instagram video, or are you playing this to grow, I don't know. There's just parts of me that sometimes it just feels very inauthentic. And I was a DJ before a producer, and I just want to make sure that everyone has a great time. But I also want to make sure everyone has a great time in a way that people aren't expecting it. not by pulling out something that is very easily that anyone could do. Like, I want to make records that people have never heard of that will want them to go, what the fuck is that? And give them that same feeling as if I played like a 90s hit record. And that's where I know you do that. I've seen you play. I've heard you play. I know your records and you do that. I think it's just something that there's artists that want to do that and there's artists that don't. Doesn't mean that anyone's right or wrong. It's just we're all going to talk shit on everyone until
when I go see some DJs playing, because sometimes when we play in a big festival, I always love to hang out, go to see someone who's playing, get inspiration. You know, we always get inspiration from what we see, what we hear, and then, you know, like, What I want when I'm going to listen someone playing, there's also like another thing: see somebody or listen to somebody.
Yeah,
it's two different things. Many people say, "I'll go see this DJ."
Yeah.
You don't go see the DJ. You go listen to the music. So it's a completely different thing. But nowadays, I see Marco. I cannot wait to see you and see you playing. Mm. See you playing. Hear your music is a completely different thing.
Totally.
But besides of this, when I go and listen to someone's music, I always expect to give me something to remember.
Yeah, totally.
So like a track, a moment, something that I don't expect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, what's this record?
Yeah.
Because when you play a certain record in a specific time in a set, if it's a special record, it gives you a moment.
Yeah.
And it's a moment to remember. So like, what's this record? Sometimes I was going next to the DJ booth and say, what's this record? And trying to see the title.
Yeah.
And I mean, nowadays you go Shazam. If it's out, you see it, you have it. If it's not out,
you're fucked. Okay.
But I was going and check the record. What's this record? Wow. And I had a moment to remember. Sometimes you go and it's like 2 hours of 2 hours of banging. And okay, it depends on the party.
Mm.
But sometimes I just hear an empty set.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, wow, okay, amazing, 2 hours of killing, good, smashing the dance floor. But where is the moment?
Yeah.
What is it? What is the music? What is the moment? Mm-hmm. What is the something to remember?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like, I always expect that. And I'm doing my best, I promise. I'm doing my best to try to give always something to, I hope that I always can give something to remember to the people they come to party.
It's funny, isn't it? Because like, for example, for me, last time I played in LA, I made like a intro record of my track Searching, which is like more of a vocal record. It's like a lot more housier. It doesn't necessarily always fit in my sets. So I was like, okay, this is a big show. Let's build like a nice intro and kind of see if it works as an intro record. And it absolutely slammed. I was like amazed how well it did. And then I was like, sick, I can use this on every set now. It's going to work every time I do it.
What's the point? This was a surprise also for you.
Yeah. And my expectations were low. And also like the timing was like perfect. The setting was perfect. And like the DJ before had some like technical issues. So there was like silence for like 5 minutes. Like there was all these little things that happened that were kind of perfect and it just timed perfectly. And then when I played it again in a different situation, it didn't work. And I tried it again and it didn't work. And then I was like, okay, I need to not do this anymore. This isn't the right moment for here. It worked once and I'm happy that it worked once. And I think that's the thing is like, it goes to show is that you have to take every kind of moment, every situation, every location where you're in differently. And we can't always nail it. We can't. We're fucking human beings. We can't be perfect every time.
The party's an alchemy, no? It's a mix of things.
Yeah.
So every crowd is different. Every city is different. Every city has a different background. And, you know, you also have to understand a little bit where you're going and where you're playing.
Yeah.
You know, because you are a DJ, you are a music selector.
Mm.
And you have to select the music.
Yeah.
For the place you're going. And obviously when I'm playing in Germany or when I'm playing in Spain or when I'm playing in Miami or I always to do different kind of set, you know,
yeah.
Because you expect maybe the crowd to be different all the time, you know, yes. And then you're preparing your mind something that I never prepared my sets before, to be honest.
No.
I always have, I have a four folders with music catalog by date or whatever, but I've never prepared my playlist, but when I'm going and DJing in a club, I more or less know what I'm going to do in my mind.
Mm.
I have a structure in my mind to know what more or less what I'm going to do. But that's creative.
Yeah.
That's creative when you go and improvise and you know what? You never heard this look at the dance floor. Yep. This is how I grow. This is how I grow when I started DJing.
It's how we learn.
The small promoter from my little hometown said, Marco, you're going to do a good job. Look the dance floor.
Yeah.
Check the dance floor. Always look what happens in the dance floor. Never turn back or look the dance floor, look the faces of the people, you know? Maybe somebody will be upset. Change the fucking record.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes feel nowadays this thing is a bit missed.
Yeah.
It's like I go play 2 hours, do my thing, do my, you know, when you go to the school and you do the thing home, just do this. But playing music is not something, I mean, it needs to be creative. Like producing music in the studio somehow, you know? Every set should be creative. Every set should be unique. And it's like, sometimes I see some DJs playing the same set in every fucking festival and venue.
Yeah.
And the same club. Day by day, the same music, the same tracks, the same set. You know, I'm not saying some tracks cannot be repeated like every time you play different tracks. No, because you don't get amazing tracks every week. No. But at least just try to change something, you know, and surprise yourself also, because we live for emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need to be. I want to have emotions as well and communicate those emotions to the crowd. What if I don't have emotions when I'm playing? How can I share my emotions to the crowd if I don't have emotions?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also look at it as a bit of a challenge, because there's some, I know you have, because it's kind of normal for it to happen. But when you're playing a show and the crowd just aren't responding at all, and you're trying everything, and you're actually being a DJ for once, and you're working your ass off to try and get them, and then eventually you get them and it turns into a fucking amazing night, and you come off the decks tired because you've had to work your ass off to get the crowd to where you get to, but once you get them, it's the best feeling ever. And
amazing.
Sometimes those feelings are they're really special to me. I'd have like Ryan, my manager, with me on certain things, and he was like, mate, you were all over the shop tonight. I was like, I know, but we got there eventually. And that's the best feeling, because that means that everybody in that crowd didn't know who I was. And hopefully by the end of it, they do. And I think that's the challenge that I go into each time. And I like being put on lineups that aren't suited for me. I like being put in the middle. Like, I get put on quite a lot of techno lineups, and I wouldn't class myself as a techno DJ producer. Yeah. I write techno and I DJ techno, but I wouldn't put myself down as that artist. And it's really interesting, like even on the weekend, like the artist before me was playing 135, 138. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to have to bring it down to like 128 and just start again. And people...
And sometimes it works even better.
It worked amazing.
Yeah.
Like the artist before didn't play a single vocal record. And my first record... Like I play a lot of vocals. It's kind of what I like.
Me too, I love it.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the one thing for me that making records should have is vocals. It's
why? Because I stay true to my roots.
Same.
Man. Same. I will never. It's very like for me. It's very difficult to play a set where you cannot even hear a vocal.
Same. I can't. I literally can't.
I want to bring happiness. In
yeah.
A set.
Exactly.
I want to play this dark, introspective kind of which I mean, I have lots of records like that, yeah. You know, like I love tech. I love dark techno. Yeah. I love heavy techno. I love everything. But I love unique sets.
Yeah.
So a record can be good to be fitted in a specific time in a moment, but not 2 hours the same thing or 3 hours. No, that's why I love playing long sets.
Yeah.
For example, I didn't have many chances to do this in North America, for example. But for example, in South America and also in Europe, anytime we get, of course, I cannot do it in festivals where we have many artists. But when I get a club show, I always try to play, if it's not all night long, like a long set, at least 3-4 hours. Yeah. Why? Because I can express myself more. I can express my message, which is going from this point to this point.
Yeah,
I'm going to pass through different kind of shades of music and not playing
it's the best, man.
Obviously I love festivals. If you put me on a lineup after this artist, I know what I'm gonna do. And these you need the promoter to trust you and to trust what you're doing, you know. I love being creative.
Totally.
And surprise myself also. All the times, I guess when I you know the feeling when you play a record and you didn't expect to have such a good reaction, you get so happy. It's and I'm best. Like, you know, like it's wow.
The it's the best feeling. I want to talk about record labels. I didn't know you had a second record label, but I know obviously Uncaged, and I play a lot of the music from Uncaged. What was the reason you spoke about the reason why you started it with the whole kind of allowing artists to be artists?
Yes.
How long have you been running it? And also, how have you found the pressure of releasing other people's records?
Okay. The label started some time ago. At least I think more like 5-6 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. And we were not releasing a lot because back in the days we must release on vinyl. So releasing on vinyl takes a long time, you know, and like pressing the record and releasing the record, and you need time to sell the record and then release a new one, because otherwise it's very difficult to have a label running a vinyl. So we didn't release a lot for the first 2-3 years, like a few records a year. The reason why I started the label is because I wanted to make a group of artists and giving my contribute of promoting someone else's music.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, very important for us, because it's very important when you have an established profile, you're DJing in festivals, you're playing a lot. Mm. It's very important that discuss the thing we said before: good music, bad music.
Yeah,
I want to do my best to promote as much good music in the market.
Yeah,
to cover the shit music. You know, so I mean, it's very important. it's very important that and when the label, of course, I'm very happy the label is doing well because it means people are buying our music and they are supporting our music. So they get focused on our music.
Yeah.
So this is exactly why I started the label, to release as much good music possible and obviously promote as many good producers possible that sometimes they're doing very good tracks and they don't have a chance to be... they get hided from a market that is not giving them a possibility to breathe and get out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
well, the market is very, especially now after the pandemic, it's very hard to get into and kind of grow anything out of. Yeah. It's we're like, you and I are super lucky that we had a career before the pandemic and that we had a following, because trying to crack it now is hard.
Very difficult. And okay, so during the pandemic, obviously we all had more time to spend on new projects and do some things. So I really put myself 200% working on the label.
Yeah.
And this is where the label got a bit more successful.
Yeah.
On Beatport and I mean like on charts, and supported from many of the artists that they were playing.
Yeah.
Because some of them didn't, some artists started to play and they were starting to support the label, but also on live streams and whatever, you know. So we had a chance to promote some new artists.
Mm.
If you consider like Gene Richard Jr., that he had the very first release on Uncage, Earth Collision, Ackerman, some artists that before the pandemic they were not doing much, and releasing on Uncage, and also with the promotion we gave them, releasing on some other good labels, they created their profile or they established their profile a bit more. Mm. So I'm super happy when now I see them playing, they start to play after the pandemic. For example, the guys, Earth Collision and Gene Richards, I think yesterday or last week, or no matter, they were playing in, they had a show in Turkey, in Istanbul, in this club RX, which is a very good club there. They start to play, you know, and it's really happy. It's very satisfying for me when I see some of the guys we promote and we trust musically. They started, you know, they play the first gigs and this and that. It's difficult because sometimes when I ask promoters to put an artist on the lineup together with me as a support artist to play before, whatever, many of them, they say no. And this is really sad.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they should support more who's doing good music and give a chance to some artists. They deserve a chance.
Yeah.
This is the hardest part, because imagine a guy that is putting, so he has a job because he cannot live with music.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a guy that is doing a job, going back home, making music, spend lots of time making music, expecting something, you know, even if your expectations are low, but at least you say, wow, I did 5-6 records during pandemic. All of them were charted, successful, good. And I don't even get a booking.
Yeah.
That's really frustrating for a guy that is putting so much time and effort doing that. And I think it's, for the promoter, it's a responsibility.
Totally.
To help that.
Totally.
To promote and do that. Because this is, all we're doing is based on this and supporting each other, doing, you know, promoting each other and promote good music.
Mm-hmm.
So... The key of the label is promoting good music and give a chance to some artists as much as we can, with my possibilities, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing my best to give them the right visibility. For example, one of the last releases we had from these two guys, we had a Mark Bloom remix.
Mm.
I made the remix as well to promote the record. For example, the new Ackerman has a Jonas Scott remix, which is a very good artist. We try to always combine new artists with established, strong artists to
help
to push them, you know, to give them some more visibility.
Yeah,
that's all what I'm doing, and I'm happy that the label is doing well. We have a sound now. We found a sound after evolving.
Yeah,
found a specific sound which is in between raw, jacking, techno. You know, with somehow soul in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are creating a group of artists constantly released on the label. So we have a direction. Now we have a direction. We will go for this direction.
Yeah, I think it's really nice, and I think it's the one thing for me that I've tried to do with mine is that it's building a crew, and I'm like, we're still very young in my label because I don't release many other people's music, but it's very important to have a crew around you, and that's not for any business or financial gain. That's purely because I just love having people around that are like-minded artists and that we can all just have the best time together. And I think that's where a lot of it gets lost sometimes, is that it's all business. None of it is actually business, really, when it comes to releasing electronic music, because there's barely any business in it until you invest
some money, because there is the promotion, the artwork, masterings, and a few things. I mean, some releases are doing a bit better.
Yeah,
they cover another release that didn't do well.
Exactly.
So it's a balance. You know, some artists, they like, oh yes, but my release sold, they got charted on Beatport and this and that, and they believed I'm gonna buy an helicopter with the sellings of the release. I'm not gonna buy an helicopter. I'm just reinvesting this money into someone else's music to contribute in the scene and give another release to the scene.
Totally.
Market. Obviously, some releases don't do better than others.
Yeah.
But a label is a balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you build up a crew, we all help each other, you know? And what's if a label is doing 200 euros of profit or 300 euros of profit on a release, we have to consider that there is someone else, which is me, which Graham, my label A&R, that we work together, and it's like, it's a work of everybody. We all work to promote music,
totally.
And we don't do lots of money because when you're releasing on the main techno kind of thing, if the record goes well, you can do a little bit of money. But when you release on Road Deep Hypnotic, on this kind of more profile kind of sound, the sellings are not they're not crazy, you know.
Well, also, I think also people don't realize how little you actually earn from digital now. Like a Spotify stream is 0.0035 cents. You need a million streams to generate $3,500. And out of generating $3,500, you've got the distribution, which is like 12 to 15. You have then have the label, which is 50%. And then you have the cost, and take the cost out of that, and then you're left with probably about 100 quid.
Some artists are coming and they say, if you don't do me the vinyl, I'm not going to sign this record with you. I'm not giving you the record.
Yeah.
Okay. But what's the point if I press your record and I sell 20 copies?
Yeah.
You know, I want to see the artistic vision out of everything. Wow. The artistic vision. Yes, we want to be on a vinyl. But nowadays, not so many people buy vinyl.
No.
Reference DJs that they should play vinyl to support the vinyl industry. Mm. They're not playing vinyl.
No.
So who's gonna buy the vinyl? We stopped releasing vinyl during pandemic because of course all the shops were closed. They really made no sense. And we were thinking about starting doing it again.
Mm.
But then I realized I was checking the numbers of some releases. They sell a bit more.
Yeah.
And some releases they just don't sell.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how should I invest all this money to release something that is not going to be not even played
yeah.
by some of the best and famous yeah. artists, that they should support the vinyl industry.
So what I do in counter to that is every year we release one vinyl a year, and that vinyl has all of the tracks from that year on, or like a handful of tracks. And that this isn't, it's more of a collector's thing. It's not for DJs. It's not for DJs to go and DJ. It's for
exactly.
It's for your fans to kind of go and have a physical copy.
So a vinyl became a piece for a collector,
exactly,
not for a DJ anymore.
Yeah,
so, what's the point of releasing 500 records?
It's not worth it
if you're gonna sell 50.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And you to produce 50 records, this will cost you more than pressing 500.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like it's always tricky and difficult.
Yeah.
And then you sell the record, you resell the vinyl, and then you get the email from the artist saying, "Oh man, but where's the money?" I say, "Man, well, we did pay lots of money to press your vinyl." And yeah. you know, it's really difficult to let somebody understand how difficult it is to run a label and be into certain kind of numbers, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. And,
when I opened the label, I never thought to make money with the label.
No.
It was something I did just for the pleasure of promoting music and new people. And yeah. as you can see, the catalog, the Uncaged catalog, is not only based on famous and big artists.
Not at all.
We had a few, Radioslave, Spencer Parker. I mean, a few also very good techno artists like Scooge, Nick Hoppner.
Yeah.
I mean, a few very good artists, but sometimes we had some new fresh artists.
Yeah.
That we are promoting.
Exactly.
They
so
are
key.
Not they are not promoting the label yeah. and me.
Yeah.
I am promoting them
yeah.
and with the label promoting the music they're doing.
Mm. Totally.
But at least I mean we're doing a job. We're working for them.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very difficult, but sometimes people think, they're doing lots of money with the label and this. If you check the numbers,
yeah,
it's just money. We pay the mastering, we pay the expenses, and maybe we gain sometimes a bit of money.
Yeah,
but this is for the whole work we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think at the end of the day is like you're right. Is that you're as the label, you're paying money to promote somebody to hope that person does really well. And you can guarantee that when that person does really well, they're probably going to go off and start their own label, or they're going to go and sign to another label. And I think that's also another thing that as label owners, you have to take that. You don't own anyone. You can't get mad at them if they go sign a record.
Some people want the artists to sign contracts and release exclusive for the label. But the label is called Uncaged, isn't
yeah.
it? And so Uncaged cannot put someone in a cage.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of calling a label Uncaged? I want freedom. I want the people to be free.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I support an artist and I release 5 records of an artist, I expect at least to hear the demos first, because I would love to hear the music
before
than any other label. But I'm not saying, hey, if I don't want these tracks for my label, you're not free to release this music on someone else's label.
Yeah.
Because what's the point? I don't want to cut the legs of an artist. I need the artist to go to... I mean, sometimes people ask, hey, should I release on this label? Should I do this? If I believe it's a good and it's the right decision to do that,
yeah,
I'm saying go do it. For example, some of the guys, they did sign on Truncate, they did sign on Rackets, they did sign on very good labels. And I say, go for it.
Yeah,
do
yeah.
it, because it's good for your profile.
Mm.
And obviously... is good for us as well.
Totally.
That we believed in your music since the first day.
Yeah.
You know? So I never see the point of signing an of put an artist under a contract and you know.
I agree. I totally
they should
agree.
Express themselves the way they think is correct for them.
Yeah.
But never forget where you come from.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Never forget where you come from, you know? Because we all put so much effort on promoting music and you know.
Well, I think some people do. I think some artists, some labels do and some labels don't. But I think if you're just generally a nice person, you're going to remember where you came from. Like, even for me, it's like releasing on Dirty Bird gave me my career. It really did give me my career. They weren't like the one, like I put the work in, but they gave me the opportunity to release music. The fact that I don't release music on them anymore doesn't mean that I don't like them or respect them or have any issues with them. It's just the fact is I write different music.
Of course.
But yeah, I really like what you do on the label, and I really like the music you put out. I play it a lot.
Yeah, it's a mix of, you know, of new artists get supported by big artists, yeah. And you know, we finally found a good way of running the project, you know. Now the next release is coming is a new EP from Alan Fitzpatrick and Resist Robot. Then we have Dance and Pika also releasing an EP, which is really good.
Yeah.
And then we have some new artists. Ackerman is back.
Yeah.
You know, like Tenzella.
Mm.
Yeah. We have another guy. We have so many newcomers.
Yeah.
And also we're getting music from some huge artists that we were not getting before.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the label is starting to have an identity and is getting played and is, you know, we're releasing music which is accessible, yeah. But at the same time it's good music.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we have a sound. So I'm super happy that finally after a long time we getting the attention that we deserved by releasing good music.
Yeah, it takes time. And I think that's the thing, is like nowadays everyone wants everything now. And it's very quick, and I think by putting the time in and the effort, and it takes time and you have to build things organically, and you guys are clearly doing that, and it's really nice to see. Like, you guys are one of the labels that I really like the output pretty much every time. So thanks for that. It's fucking amazing.
And also it's good when you get the results after a long time, you know.
Yeah.
it's a big satisfaction.
Way more,
you're also DJing since quite a long time. Mm. And obviously as a DJ as well, it's good when you pass through steps, yeah. And you evolve your career day by day, track by track, gig, yeah. By gig, you know. As you said before, many people nowadays expect this fast,
yeah.
Success, and they expect to do everything super fast because they want to reach the steps faster. And
yeah.
I don't think it's the right and healthy
no.
way of doing a musical evolution or journey, you know. Sometimes I say, I always remember when I took a flight for 10 hours and I went to a club and there was 20 people there.
Oh, so many times.
You know, like, and some artists nowadays, they don't even experience that.
Yeah.
They don't experience of traveling 5-6 years in economy class for 10 hours, going in a club, thinking that you're going to smash it. And then you end up with a gig with 20 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when you pass through those steps, and you remember them.
Yeah.
When you're going to play in front of 1,000 people, you will appreciate it 10 times
even more, 100%.
You know,
so I agree.
I always say there is a time for everything.
Yeah.
There is a time for everything. There is a time to start and step by step evolve into something.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm super happy of what I'm doing.
Yeah, you can tell as well. It comes across in your persona. It's just you, meeting you for the first time in Miami. Like, you're a happy dude, and it's nice to see you, because it's very easy to kind of get down in the dumps in this industry and kind of look at things on a negative perspective. But at the end of the day, we've got it fucking good, and we're doing things that we love.
It's easy to be. to get super hyped and stay there for a short time.
Yeah.
But it's not easy to be there for a long time.
Agreed.
And the run of a DJ, it's a long run.
Yeah.
It's not a short run, you know? Mm. It's like if you run super fast, and after 100 meters, you're tired. If you run slow, you can do 1,000 meters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, so it's better to have this slow run, go up step by step, gig by gig, record by record.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some record can be more successful than others. But when you do a successful record after all those years having, you know, the pain, you know, you feel the pain on your liver. Oh, yes, I'm going. Step by step, you know, it's way more satisfying when you arrive at the end.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I totally agree.
And I've experienced everything of this career, you know?
Yeah, man, from I love that.
The difficult moments to the beautiful moments.
Mm. No, you're right. You're 100% right.
And when you look back, you say, wow, it has been a long journey, but I can tell you a story.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I have this conversation with Ryan like on a regular basis, and he's like, when things don't go our way, he's like, it's just one for the book, mate. Take note of it, and it's one for the book.
Imagine yourself in 10 years.
Exactly.
Or in 20 years, and you make an interview and you say, yes, now I can tell you a story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a long story, but full of, you know, moments and things to remember.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I've got one more question for you, and it's something that I've started doing at the end of this podcast. I kind of just wanted to give people a bit of knowledge about life and ask the guest a question. And the question is, what life advice would you give somebody? Not about music. It doesn't have to be, but it can be about anything. But what bit of advice?
The best advice I can give is to be happy with what you have and not what you don't have. Don't look what you don't have.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. When you're happy with what you have, your life will be better.
Yeah.
Not always look at the others, what the others are doing, why you don't do that. Or we have, you know, sometimes we realize that we have so much comparing to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That we are already lucky with what we have. We have, for example, for me in life, but in general, I'm able to do what I love. I became a DJ, but DJing was my passion.
Yeah.
It was a hobby.
Yeah.
I didn't start DJing because I was expecting to get paid or have a career or become my job, my full-time job, you know? Imagine if nowadays I was doing another job. I was playing records anyway.
Yeah.
In my home.
Yeah. In Italy.
Like, you know, I'm super happy. You need to be happy with what you have, even if it's not much, but sometimes you realize that you're lucky to have that.
Yeah. And it takes, you know? I think it takes a lot of self-reflection to be able to say that and do that.
During the whole pandemic, we had time to reflect.
Totally.
I mean, this is something, honestly, I realized during the pandemic a lot.
Mm.
I realized during the pandemic a lot. I was living in an apartment here in Barcelona. It was a nice apartment, but during the pandemic was terrible because I didn't have a terrace.
Yeah.
So I was like, how beautiful could be to have a 2 meters terrace. Fucking little terrace. I'm not asking a pool or a garden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine to have a little terrace.
Yeah.
So if you have an apartment with a little terrace, you should be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Mate, thank you so much for coming on. How can people follow you and listen to your music on everywhere?
Everywhere. everywhere. And I hope that now we all starting to DJ again and see you. I mean, I hope to see all of you guys around the world.
Likewise.
And hopefully we're going to play some gigs together as well very soon.
For sure.
I'm sure we're going to have fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's what life's about, man. Thanks so much for coming on, dude. And keep safe. See you soon. Peace.
See you soon. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Big love to everybody that's listened. Big love to Marco. Please go and subscribe. Please share. Please do all of the good stuff. Thank you so much. Keep safe. See you next time.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.